Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where I relate to Amazon FBA Power Level and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we bring you for second time, actually, a special guest to my podcast, Aaron, founder and CEO of Ecom Stores, where they specialize on everything when it comes to helping brands to exit or if you're looking to actually buy a brand as well. So today's conversation is going to be all about that. We know the exit kind of game is something that is being on the horizon for a lot of sellers or even for people looking to enter into the Amazon game. So we're going to be talking about the panorama, what is happening, things that you have to consider. And hopefully we're going to make, you know, your decision making much easier moving forward. So Aaron, welcome back to the show again. How you doing?
Thank you, Vincenzo. Yeah, doing great. Happy to be back.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure. Last time we have a very insightful conversation. I'm sure this one's going to be the same. So, you know, for those that might not know you, before we dive deeper into the topic, tell us more about you and Ecom Stores. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So my company, Ecom Stores, what we do is we acquire Amazon stores from people who are not using them anymore, essentially. People that have just, you know, going to throw in the towel for whatever reason. It might be because they've actually sold their brand, for example, and they've just got this store that they're not using anymore. As you can imagine, there's thousands and thousands of these stores that people just don't use. So we acquire these following a legal acquisition process, just as if an aggregator was acquiring, you know, an eight-figure brand, same legal framework. We acquire them, and essentially what we do then is we make the stores a little bit better. And then we sell them to private label sellers or to wholesale sellers that are looking to fast track their growth on the platform. So that's the high level. And you know, the main reasons people acquire them is because they're ungated in brands that you can't sell on new stores. The older stores, you probably heard, they're almost a myth, right, at this point. But some of these super old stores, like pre-2010, they have a daily pay cash flow cycle where you have a special button you press and the money is released in full every day. So, you know, no money is held in reserve. And then, you know, there's a number of other reasons why people acquire them, but that's the kind of the main ones. I hope that kind of makes sense.
Love it. So yeah, I mean, those all accounts, I know I've seen a few of those, and man, what a time to be alive back then. Like, you just click a button, the money will be back. Now that's definitely not happening with a new account, so it's definitely a huge advantage, you know.
Yes, it's wild to think about. You know, pre-2010, as I said, these daily pay accounts, where let's say you make $10,000 that day, you press the button. That $10,000 that was in the net proceeds that you're paid out would hit your bank 24 hours later. So from a, like, just a cash conversion cycle standpoint, which is, you know, the money put out into inventory until it comes back into your account, that cycle is, I mean, with a reserve, it takes about 23 days to get the full amount. So it's literally 23 times faster in terms of the cash conversion cycle, which is bananas. Yeah. For a company that's looking to reinvest and grow, to keep on scaling. So,
awesome.
They're rare, obviously, because they were stopped being made in 2010. So yeah, they are still out there. And, we know folks that just kind of collect them. You know, they might have three or four brands, private label brands, and they all just, you know, they just get one of these older vehicles, if you like, these older vehicles to put their brand in. And it's tough for other people to compete in that regard, because it's like, I mean, they've just got cash flow to keep reordering stock. So they avoid stockouts, especially in Q4, is a big win for a lot of sellers.
Now, you mentioned something there that is very interesting beyond, of course, this type of accounts, which is the opportunity to also engage with accounts that are ungated for certain categories. I guess before we dive into that, the specifics of that, I think I would like to start with the basics of how this whole kind of opportunity works, because I'm sure some sellers might be thinking, okay, but if I'm already selling on Amazon, but maybe I want to have another account for another category, is going to be an issue for me. Can I have other accounts? It's specific to certain regions. So give us like an overview of, you know, what are maybe the criteria, the must have criteria that you need to have to be eligible to, you know, kind of repurpose some of these accounts, you know?
Absolutely. So I started selling private label in 2013. You know, back when it was a whole different ball game back then, as you can imagine. But back then, Amazon was very strict, right? There was, hey, you're not allowed more than one account. That was the mm-hmm. you know, the status quo. Over the years, Amazon have become more lenient in saying, well, you can have as many stores as you want, providing there's a valid reason for you to do so, right? And these, you can Google these, they're very clear, but essentially, you're starting a new brand, you want to have a separate store. You know, you don't want to have co-mingling brands in one. Different business model, like wholesale in one, you know, private label in another. There's a number of other reasons that make it legally fine for you to own different stores. So that's just what I'll say off the bat. And, you know, Amazon are very okay with acquiring stores. Private equity have been doing this for decades on Amazon. You think about aggregators, right? They might have 400 acquisitions under one umbrella company. I was actually sat down. I see you went to Amazon Accelerate recently. I was there 2 years ago. I can't believe it's gone so quickly. But I sat down with head of compliance with Amazon, who was working directly with the aggregator team, actually, who was, you know, and these big aggregators. You know, when that whole industry was really, you know, popping off, sort of thing. And, you know, at that point, she was like, look, Amazon are fine with it if you follow the right process, if you let Amazon know, you cross all your T's, dot your I's. So yeah, it's sensitive. So that's important that you do it right, but it's absolutely fine if you do it right, if that makes sense.
Cool. So now when it comes to categories, because I'm sure that's something that people might be learn more about that. You mentioned that there's some specific categories that people are very interested into. So can you name a few? Like, what are some of the categories that, you know, you can help us kind of find throughout your company, and why they're so difficult, it says, to get access to? Yeah,
absolutely. So one of the a big one for I talk about a guy called Connor Busick's, his name is. He's a great great gentleman out of Canada. He was doing about $1 million a month in his supplement brand, his private label brand, right? He nailed the model, right? He had it down, you know, down pat. He was like, look, I just want to launch another supplement brand, same suppliers, different branding, and just, you know, just see how much, you know, real estate I can take up on the Amazon search results, right? So we found him a store that was, because he wanted to hit the ground running, when you open a new store, it might take up quite a while if you get ungated in supplements. So we found him at a store that he could acquire that was already ungated and ready to rock and roll. So he could literally just copy and paste his business model into that store and start ramping up, duplicating what he's already done. So that's one of the main ones. Supplements is in terms of categories for private label sellers. You know, there's pet, there's the ones that are generally more restricted on newer stores that can, I mean, if it stops you selling it for 6 months, it's 6 months of profit and revenue, you know, and if you put that money into, you know, like 6 months of revenue, you know, and that compounds, right? So that's a cost, an opportunity cost. You know, entrepreneurs are not the most patient people in the world, right?
You got to deploy tomorrow.
Cool. From the private label perspective, that's kind of some of the most common brands, common categories. But if you're a wholesale seller, then, I mean, much of the most profitable brands are hard gated on newer stores. You know, they're just, Amazon doesn't trust you yet. You know, but it's not just to do with that. It's just some of how they're, some of the settings in the back end of the stores just don't allow you to sell certain brands, no matter how good your account health is, and no matter how many invoices you get from great suppliers. It's just a setting thing in the back end. So, I mean, we've had people that have been like, hey, I've got this opportunity to sell. I'm just going to make a brand up. Lego, for example. It's a $200,000 profit opportunity for me. Got great suppliers, but I can't sell it, right? And, you know, they've come to us. They found a store that is able to sell that brand. This is an example brand, but it gives them access to that so they can hit the ground running, you know, out the gate. Cool. Because this most 99% of sellers are hard gated in that brand, what that does is it creates so much, you know, there's little sellers allowed to sell it, but there's huge consumer demand. So that's like a big blue ocean opportunity for a lot of sellers to get in there and, you know, to find a store that's already ungated, right? That makes sense.
Yeah. And in terms of timelines, like let's say, because I'm sure a lot of people hearing this now might be thinking, okay, this is actually a huge opportunity for me to leverage. Like, let's say I'm looking to launch a supplement brand. I've been hitting, you know, the wall in terms of getting approved. Now I can just buy, you know, one of these accounts and get started. What is realistically the timeline to, you know, for a moment, I start looking for them to actually deploy? Is a matter of weeks, months? What is your experience with that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it kind of varies depending on what they're looking for. But somebody would come to us and they say, hey, this is kind of what I'm looking for, a supplement store that's got a lot of, you know, sales history. It's ungated in the category of supplements. Then we would just check to see what we've got in our pipeline. We look at about 200 to 400 stores a month in terms of applications that people come and, you know, there's a lot of people that stop selling on Amazon, as you can imagine. Like 1,000 or 2,000 seller accounts that were open daily. So
I know.
Yeah, so most people will never use them, or they might use them a bit. So there's a lot of these stores people don't use, right? So we would find the top 1% of these stores, and then we would essentially that would go into our pipeline. So somebody comes to us, it might take, depending on what they're looking for, 2 to 4 weeks to get them up and selling, and it's pretty straightforward. So it's get on a call with us, show us essentially what you're looking for. And then step two is we'd go and find the store that you're, you know, that will be a perfect fit. And then once we've done that, we'd do all the paperwork, let Amazon know, which is step two, which is, you know, the transfer of the store. And then step three is delivery. So where we deliver the store in a safe, secure environment, which doesn't link it to any other store that you've got, because that's important, because, you know, we've all heard the horror stories of, you know, no. You know, there's a daisy chain effect or like a domino effect of stores that get suspended, right? So
yeah,
every store is kept in its own, you know, separate IP address, and, you know, it's like a digital moat, right? Protects it. And that whole process takes about 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the type of store. So yeah, it's pretty
cool.
It's not instant, as the details.
Yeah, but still, it's way faster. Trust me, than doing it on your own.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's huge. So now another thing I wanted to add here is, you know, of course we've been talking all accounts that have the cash flow kind of benefit. We are talking about categories, but what about, out of curiosity, are some of these accounts, maybe is some people looking for some of these accounts because they have a lot of feedbacks as a store, because, you know, it might be a dormant account, but it got a lot of seller feedback, and that's also something good for as a wholesaler, for example. Is that even an opportunity as well? Are you having those conversations as well?
Yeah, for sure. Like, primarily it's coming from wholesale sellers or people that are looking to, because that directly impacts the winning the buy box, yeah, right? But also people that run the brand exclusive model, you know, like Pattern, you know, where they, you know, obviously the largest Amazon seller in the world, they go and close exclusive relationships with billion-dollar brands, right? We actually had a guy called Glenn Jensen reach out. That's his model too. We had a store that had 200,000 seller feedback. It was like a super old store and lots of sales through over the years. And he wanted that store because it would position him to close more brand exclusive deals, because, hey, look, if you're competing for a brand and there's 10 other sellers and all of them have got like 100 seller feedback and they're saying we're experts, but then you come along and say, hey, I've got 200,000 seller feedback, here's our store, you know, this is what we're capable of, you know, it's going to help you close more deals. That's what he was looking for the stores for. So yeah, the seller feedback, two reasons really, winning more buy box. Second thing is closing more brand partnerships, you know, for them exclusive wholesale relationships.
Cool. Now, I guess an opportunity I'm very curious about, because I'm sure a lot of people, of course, will buy these accounts because they want to, you know, really grow a brand and then potentially have an exit. But have you actually also encountered maybe people that would buy some of these accounts as a business opportunity, in the sense that maybe they're buying from you, they might do some refinement inside and they sell them again? Is that also, you have some clients that come to you with that model? Because I'm assuming this is something that you can use internationally, right? So maybe somebody from China might come and buy from you, or somebody from Germany. Like, how does it work at the international level? Like, is there also like a flipping, I guess, opportunity here, if you have seen that in the first place? Yeah,
I've not seen that for ourselves. We're very cautious who we work with. We have a bit of a, you know, we don't want to sell to anybody. Like,
yeah,
primarily our clients come from the USA base. Good. You know, their companies are out of USA, and they're mainly mm-hmm. USA citizens. We work with a lot of European folks that have their brands over in USA. But we don't work well. I don't think we work with any Chinese sellers. Frankly, I don't know whether it's just they've not really approached us. You know, we'll be careful there as well. But that's not something we, you know, we always want to exercise caution. I'm not saying all Chinese sellers are bad at all.
No.
What I'm saying is, you know, most of our guys are US based sellers, private label guys. They're like, hey, I'm ready. I've already got this 7-8 figure brand. I'm looking to hit the ground running.
Exactly.
You know, and the same with the wholesale sellers too.
Yeah. I guess the question comes also because I'm sure there might be, because I've seen that some agents, that maybe an agent in France that has a lot of French brands, but they don't know the Amazon game, and this could be a great opportunity. You know, this French agent could come, for example, to you and identify these brands that have some seller feedback already, or they have on getting supplements, and they're working with a French company in the supplement space, and be the connector. So that's another great avenue here that could be.
There you go. I didn't even think of that, but I'll make a note, because that could.
Yeah.
Could be an open.
Yeah, even ourselves as an agent, that's why I'm bringing this to the table. We have been having a lot of conversation lately with people that they don't want to start with a fresh account. They want to start with an account that already has some history. So the same, like, we could go to you, of course, and get some of these accounts and have them set up, which is, I think, that one or listeners and viewers to know that that's also a very good opportunity. Now, we touch international markets there, and I want to tap a bit into that, because another thing I know is very attractive when it comes to accounts is sometimes accounts that have already the setup done in other countries. So, for example, people that want to launch to Europe, you don't have a VAT number, you don't have all the different kind of setups. That's costly and takes a lot of time. So is that also something you can buy? Like, can you buy an account that has all the European markets and everything ready to go, or no? What is your experience with that?
So that's not something we help with, just because of the complexities of it. And we've had cases where, you know, we've sold stores that have had all the European marketplaces open. And obviously, as you know, changing, you know, updating all that information
can be
tough. Like, so, primarily we don't help in that way, just because of the, you know, how hard it is to navigate for the VAT purposes and all the hoops you have to jump through.
Because the legal side is a minefield. I know, that's why I was asking.
It's a tough one. Yeah. It's really tough. I mean, we had one of our clients acquire a store that had to do that. And I mean, it took months, and we was like, okay, we probably don't want to do that again, just because it was so painful. We got there in the end, but it was tough.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is, as we're in the season of Q4, while we're touching it, one of the reasons, you don't have to go to a company like ours to buy these stores. I just want to be clear. You can actually look in your network. You can mm-hmm. find them. You know, if you've got the time, that you can do that, because especially in this time of year, you've got Q4, right? So some of these older stores, they have crazily enough, they have zero FBA inventory limits. So mm-hmm. we sold a guy a store this time last year, right? He was actually a wholesale guy, but he got gated in his main brand, right? Overnight. He had 400,000 of inventory on his way to Amazon's warehouses, right? It's a nightmare. But we found him a store from 2008 that was daily pay, but was ungated in his brand. So he was, you know, he was happy. But what we found out later was he was like, the store's got zero inventory limits. It was like, let's check. And what happened, because the store was so old, it was like, I think 6 to 8 months, it had zero FBA limit. So he could just send in so much inventory in Q4, wow. Never ran out of stock. And, you know, the logistical complexity of doing small shipments,
yeah.
The cost and the margin compression on it is extreme. So it worked out really well for him, because he could just load up all the warehouses, which enabled him to win the buy box more too. And then, you know, unfortunately, about 8 months later, he said, oh, they've now put a, you know, it's pretty high cap, but they've now given him a, cap. So, but I mean, that was a...
That's actually a very interesting case. I didn't even know. I mean, now that you mentioned, of course, comes to mind, but that's very good case, usage of a new account, like the limits. Oh my God. It's been such a nightmare even for us and our brands. And yeah, that can be game changer. That can essentially make the difference between making it or not, especially running out of all your inventory, or not having or having to overpay in fees. It's crazy, you know.
It's an absolute minefield. And like he basically, because he was all excited about his Q4, he had all this inventory coming over, and then he got hit the gating on his store. He was up here, and then he was down here. We found him the store. But what happened was, within 30 days, he'd done $300,000 in revenue with this first month. But because of the daily cash flow cycle, he was able to place a $2.5 million purchase order by day 40, right? Just, you know, with a normal store, because of the reserve, he wouldn't have been able to turn his money that fast. But because he was doing it daily, he accrued the money and then placed another order of $2.5 million. So he was on track for $1 million a month within, you know, a couple of months. So that's what, you know, and with the zero inventory limits, it was like a compounding effect of these three things. But yeah, that's what can happen. If you find the right vehicle, is what we call them. It's kind of like, you know, an analogy is, you know, winning on Amazon's like winning a race, right? You know, there's two parts of that. There's the driver, which is the product, systems, you know, capital, all super important, like the systems, all really important. And then there's the actual vehicle that the team operate within, like the driver operates within, right? You know, you can find these older stores out there in the wild. Like, if you've got a network of friends, you know, you've got communities, you've got Facebook groups, you can go and find these yourself. Like, you can do it if you've got the time to do it. And some of these older stores just have these grandfathered in benefits that really can make a difference in terms of building generational wealth for Amazon sellers. And I say that, I don't say that lightly. It's the case.
No.
These moats, when everybody else has got these kind of slower vehicles, I mean, it's hard to compete. So,
yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, Ara, it's been a pleasure as usual to have you. For the last minute that we have here, is there any other insight you want to share with us in terms of, you know, why this is, you know, something to consider? And finally, like, how people can find you? Like, you know, I'm sure people might be wondering, you know, how do I explore this opportunity? How do I reach out? So give us more information about that as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd basically look, because generally what I've found is when you do everything everybody else does, it's kind of like a red ocean opportunity, right? Where everybody is, but when you think about, okay, what vehicle could I use that's going to enable, it goes back to a quote by Warren Buffett. I always kind of think of what he said. When he was in college, he grew up with one of his good friends. He went into the steel business. Warren went into businesses and stocks, right? And the other guy was smarter than him, and, you know, he's worked harder than him. But the steel business went in, went under, essentially, in America. Warren's lesson was, it's not about how hard you row, it's about the boat you're in. So just think about that with the store you're using. You know, is there a better opportunity in terms of cash flow, in terms of being able to sell different brands or categories? So that's kind of what I would say.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, and I'm sure, like, for this, I think as a conclusion as well, because I think this is a very important thing to take out of this episode. It's like, I feel especially for those listening up that have been having such a tough journey to, you know, get engaged and all the things that we mentioned, like, understand that, you know, this is the perfect solution for that, because I get emails all the time, like, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that in terms of engaging, things like that? And so that solution is rather than trying to do it yourself because you're reaching this roadblock, is just, you know, work with somebody like Aaron, which it can make your journey so much easier. So Aaron, to conclude, how people can find you and work with you?
Absolutely. So what you can do, underneath this video, there'll be a link to ecomstores.com/ecomc. So ecomstores.com/ecomc. And that'll give you an option when you go to that page. If you have a spare Amazon account that you don't use anymore, you'll be able to click the button, schedule a call, so we can make you a cash offer for your store if it works out and makes sense. And then there'll be another option if you're looking to potentially acquire one of these faster vehicles to help you scale. You can follow the links on the page there too. So that's it. Thanks so much, Vincenzo. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure as usual, and see you in the next one. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by EcomC. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.